Hey, what's up, guys? This is Brian.
And Josh.
And this is the DotCast number, what is it? Number four? Number five?
Four.
And today we have someone joining us who's going to be a member, and we're really excited. So say hello to Keith.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Keith.
I've been playing video games for a long time, and I got into Rooster Teeth and stuff, and I got my buddies into it. One of my buddies actually ended up getting really into it. She found your guys' podcast. She introduced me to you guys, and I started listening to your guys' podcast. It was pretty interesting. I liked it a lot, so I started following it, and yeah.
And now we're here. Well, Keith has sent us a lot of emails.
Not really a lot, like two.
All right. He sent us more emails than anyone else has, giving us input and just mentioning things that we could talk about. So when we decided to expand a little bit, we shot him a message and see if he was interested. And now there are three of us. So to get right started, we got a couple things we want to talk about. We don't really have a set schedule for this podcast, but Josh wanted to talk about free-to-play stuff.
Yeah, so. Free-to-play has really kind of changed over the past couple of years. It used to be just like your free games would be just like online only, or
you'd have your mini clip and your addictinggames.com.
Or it would a pop-up would be like, oh, you can play this free game, but it's most likely a virus. But now free-to-play has kind of like changed the industry. We have World of Warcraft going free-to-play, but you have a level cap of 20, so you eventually have to buy. Star Wars The Old Republic is going free-to-play this fall. Completely free-to-play, which I'm excited about, except my computer can't handle it. So now, and also we have Team Fortress 2, great shooter.
I think Team Fortress 2 kind of started the market of free-to-play.
It really was one of the first games.
Right, I mean, there's all, like, free-to-play on Steam has been around for a long time.
Well, really, kind of rarely, though. Like, they gave away Portal and Alien Swarm.
Right. Like, it's been around, but it was never... The games that were free-to-play were never big games. They weren't the huge... I'm blanking on the word, but they weren't really popular, and Team Fortress 2 kind of came in and...
Yeah. Team Fortress 2 was... You had to pay for it for a long time, but it was always like really cheap. It's like Counter-Strike, where it was like $13, and it would have sales where it was like $5. So it's really like kind of surprising why people haven't gotten it already, because of like the Steam summer sales, all those other sales Steam have. And well, they have it free to play. You don't even have to, you can pay for like hats and stuff like that, but that's about it. Everything else is really on your own. You don't have to pay for anything, but there are some games that kind of take advantage of the free to play kind of thing, and they turn into like a play-to-win situation.
Yeah, with the free-to-play industry, I see it going one of two ways. One, we're going to get the Team Fortress 2 free-to-play where the whole game is free-to-play, or we're going to get that free-to-play where you play, but you can only play up to a certain amount until you then all of a sudden have to start paying. And I really hope we don't see it go that way. I would rather buy a game. Josh is throwing things across the room. I would rather buy a game, walk in, or go online. I don't want to pay $5 a month for this level of membership, $10 a month for this. I want to buy a game and not have to worry about recurring fees, and that's not something... I mean, being 17, I don't have a credit card and things like that, so it's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, the thing with like free-to-play, I've never really liked the model that much, because they're like free-to-play shooters that I've seen on the PC and stuff. You know, they start out like good. Like, they start out where everyone's on the same level. Like, when they first come out, I mean. Like, not when I first started playing, but like when these different free-to-play games had come out. They start out with everyone's on the same level or whatever. But then as the game gets updates and stuff, they start to make it where if you're not paying for items in the game with real money, then you're going to be left behind, and you're going to have no chance of like win or anything. You're just going to fall behind everyone else who's paying to win, and that's the problem that I've always had with free to play.
Exactly.
It's sort of like Farmville. as if you think about it, because you have to.
God. Oh my God! Are we really including Facebook games what is the gaming industry coming to that we're doing this?
It's a type of game, so I'm including. It's a free game, but you have to pay you have to really pay money for all the good stuff you can get.
But then, like, you even have Minecraft servers. You have where you can you have PvP servers where you can go on and you can start. Just normal, but if you want to, you know, start with a pickaxe or get a special ability, like you gain health when you kill someone, that's going to cost you money. Or you have to pay for a membership to get premium access into servers that have more room, so you can get in them more often, rather than waiting for something to open up.
Yeah, so I'm getting a call right now, and I kind of have to take it, so I'll be right back. I know. I'm sorry.
Nice. Do you play Minecraft, Keith?
Yeah, I play Minecraft, but I started with it on the PC. I didn't have it. My sister had bought it, so I downloaded it. And I must have the world's worst laptop, because my laptop cannot even handle Minecraft. I have to set it to the lowest setting.
When Josh and I do... Josh and I have two computers that we work on mainly. And we actually... Our school has a school radio station. We do online broadcasting. So when we record things, we're using, like, the mics we use, we're always at the radio station because we have access to the mics and all that stuff. So we have the radio's computer, which is a decent computer. I mean, it's got an i5 processor, but otherwise, it's a decent computer. And then we have Josh's laptop. And when we do Minecraft, now that you can open to LAN, which is so convenient, but like the computer that I'm running is the radio computer, and I've got, you know, like normal render distance and fancy graphics and stuff like that. And Josh is on the other side of the table with a tiny render distance, fast graphics. He's got his laptop always plugged in so he can have max FPS, and he's still just lagging. So and then on the other side of the table on my monitor, I've got Fraps running, which is recording at, like,
you got videos
30,
uploading, yeah. And all that stuff.
I've got videos uploading while recording, while downloading something, all while playing Minecraft and talking through. So it's funny how off, but we try and still produce content that we can.
Yeah, that's like, I have run into that problem with, like, I have my laptop constantly plugged in. I have it fast graphics, tiny render distance, and all that. And it's like, I realize that if you really want to get into, like, PC gaming, you need a desktop, a laptop.
You cannot.
You have a desktop.
A laptop.
And you can just upgrade it and keep upgrading it. With a laptop, right. It's not all laptops are able to be upgraded.
Well, there's also a problem with it'll overheat and actually destroy some of it.
Yeah.
Just actually destroy your computer.
Laptops
because it overheats.
Laptops don't have quality heating systems. I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I'd trust some, like, Steam and stuff like that, but when it comes time to, like, Diablo 3 and your Skyrims, I would not run those in a laptop. I mean, even some of the high-end Alienware laptops, they're still, one, they're crazy expensive because it's all that power in a laptop, and
but it
two,
still doesn't have good heat distribution.
Right, two, it still isn't as strong as
like, if it was
a
liquid-cooled or something like that,
right,
maybe.
But I don't think you'd be able to get a... Like, a liquid cooling system in a laptop would make it so thick.
That is, yeah. The more you think about it, the more you see it's...
Yeah. But, yeah, really with PC gaming, you need a desktop. And you can't... And the other part is you have to build your own. You can't...
Yeah.
Like, and unless you're willing to spend an ungodly amount by going through Dell or HP or Alienware, Or Mac. Okay, I don't think we've mentioned this before, but really quick. So Mac recently came out with the Mac Pro, which they brought back their tower. And Josh and I were going through, this was a few weeks ago.
I think it was a month ago.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It was when school was still in session, so.
Like 3 months,
yeah,
2 months ago?
Yeah, it was a few months ago, actually. We went through and we maxed out. So we did like 64 gigabytes of RAM, 600 gigabyte solid state hard drives, like everything maxed out. Two of the big 27-inch monitors, everything. And the final cost came to $16,000. Josh and I then went on Newegg and made a PC with the exact same specs, and it was like $6,000.
Apple, you're really just paying. It seems like with Apple, you're paying for the name, and that's something that I've never really liked about Apple, because I'm not like a huge computer guy. Like, I'm interested in computers, but I don't know as much as I want to know yet. Mm-hmm. And my buddy, I have a buddy who lives down in South Carolina, and he works as a computer technician, and he showed me like Newegg and like other websites that he uses where he gets like do-it-yourself kits, and you get like PCs and stuff that are like, you know, they've got really great specs for gaming and everything, and they're so much cheaper just because it's a kit that you build yourself, so you're not paying for that labor.
Yeah, and it's the thing that, like, people are always like, well, I'm kind of nervous building my own computer. I mean, it seems really easy to mess something up, and I don't want to throw away a $200 processor because I did something wrong. But you can, like, YouTube, Newegg makes videos. Literally, you can watch, like, 3 20-minute videos, like a 3-part series on how to build your own desktop, and it will tell you exactly what the stuff to purchase, how to build it, and then like the first boot up and getting it running. And then if you have any questions, walk into your local Staples or something. They have video cards and everything right there. You can ask them questions and they'll be able to tell you. So I think building your own desktop is, there's, if you haven't looked into it, it's kind of this cloud over, oh, it looks really challenging, look at all the wires and pieces that go together. But once you start looking into it, it's not, it really is just, it's putting the motherboard in the right slot. It's putting the hard drive in the like when you buy your chassis, it has all the grooves and everything where everything goes. So it's literally just lining things up and clicking them in and then putting the wires in the right spot.
Yeah, it's almost foolproof, really.
Yes.
Well, actually, I feel like I'd mess something up.
Well, then you always get the one guy that buys the like the wrong processor for the motherboard and throws out a $350 processor or something. But I mean, that's something that can easily be avoided.
I feel like with, like, you know, we're obviously in an age where computers are a lot bigger. You know, people use them a lot more, but it seems like even with that, there are so many people who just don't know what they should know about computers. Like, I have some friends, and like I said, I don't really like Apple products that much, but they figure that because of how expensive like MacBooks and stuff are, they must be like top end computers that are great and everything. And it's like, you can build that same laptop computer, whatever, and it's so much cheaper, and they're really just paying for the name and they don't realize it.
Yeah,
and I feel like,
and it's also like simplicity.
What are you saying? We cut you off.
I feel like that should be a skill that's taught more like in school or whatever, like working with computers. Because I mean, if you don't know how to build your own computer, or you don't know how to fix your own computer, you're going to get like left behind.
Yeah, exactly. And one story, actually, well, two stories. The first one, so here in Maine, Apple has created this program where in 7th and 8th grade, your school can get MacBooks for really cheap. So what happens is in 7th and 8th grade, every student gets a laptop. And what is happening is they're getting these Macs, and the schools are starting to go all Mac. And students are learning how to use computers, but they're learning how to use computers very simply. And to the point where on a Mac, when you right-click something, you have to hit Control and then click. I have a friend, we were working on a slideshow. I'm going into my senior year in high school, she's going into her junior year. We're doing a slideshow for our AP US history class. And I say, oh, right-click, and I slide over my laptop, which is a PC. And she hits Control and starts clicking, and she's like, it's not right-clicking. And I said, well, you have to right-click. And she's like, that's what I'm doing, Control-clicking. And I was like, no, you're literally right-clicking, clicking the right mouse button. And that was like a whole new world to her.
Yeah.
And it was like, holy crap. like the, and that that's kind of that was just such a shock to me. Like, and well, then and then she says, "Well, why don't we use because we could use the teacher's computer." And she was like, "Why don't we use the teacher's computer, which is a Mac, because it'll be so much easier." And I was like, "I guarantee I can do put together that slideshow in PowerPoint three times faster, get it saved, and then get it opened." Like, and just like you, I don't know. Just there's so many things that just amaze me because, it, and it's almost. All right, you could call it a quote-unquote conspiracy theory, but I wouldn't go that far. But my thought is Apple is doing this program to get children at a young age interested in their company, and in 20 years, if this continues, in 20 years, if no one teaches these kids otherwise, they're not going to know how to use PCs.
Yeah, so PCs will basically be a dying breed.
Which is... awful, like absolutely awful.
I think that people will always know how to use PCs mainly because of like gaming, because there really aren't games for the Mac. If there are, they're like ports. But if you really want to get heavily into gaming, you need to build your own PC and stuff.
Exactly, and you're gonna have the engineers and the gamers. Their PC is gonna be around for a long time. No question about that.
But it's just Apple's slow move to have everyone just be Mac only.
Yeah.
But like what I saw was with Linux or the Ubuntu software operating system, like Steam just came out with their client for it, and they have their first game was
which
their
first I think that's awesome.
Well, their flagship game Left 4 Dead actually runs better on the Ubuntu version or Linux version than it does the PC version. With computers of the same specs.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I bet probably just because those kind of... I don't want to say third-party operating systems, but that's kind of what
it's,
they are.
Well, it's their first party. They're their own system.
They're those operating systems, they don't have this as many, quote-unquote, features as...
Ubuntu has plenty of features.
Well, sure, but they're more streamlined. So I think they can probably run smoother because they are more just a core operating system and not kind of some of the fancy stuff that Windows and Apples might have.
Well, what would you say is a fancy product? Because Ubuntu has really everything you can get that's on a Windows computer.
I don't know. I just think...
it's like, a different feeling. I don't think... you haven't really used Ubuntu enough.
I guess... yeah, no, I guess I haven't really used one enough to really make a clear distinction, but...
I've never even, like... I only know of one person around here who has a Linux system, and I don't know how big it is, like, everywhere else. Like, you know, maybe there's some part of the country where that's, like, the operating system that everyone uses. I don't think so, but I've never seen, like, the interface for it, but it just seems like a system where you have to understand computers better to use it.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was meaning to say. When I streamline, it's very core. It's hardware oriented, very the core operating system, where Windows and Mac make it constantly are adding new features that allow you to further yourself more and more and more from the actual code. And the actual programming of the software.
Yeah. I don't know, like, but what you're saying, like, you know, the difference between, you know, Windows and Apple and then, like, the Linux and stuff. There's this one person that I do know around here who has a Linux system. We were doing a project in one of our classes freshman year, and, you know, the teacher was like, oh, everyone needs to work on this at home. So if you don't have PowerPoint, you can go to this website where they have something like PowerPoint for the PC.
Oh, like
I guess she didn't know that PowerPoint was on PCs as well as Apple's. And my friend, she just like, well, what if I don't have a PC or Windows? And the teacher gave her this look like, what else could you possibly have? And she goes, I have a Linux. And there was just like this look of disbelief and shock on that teacher's face. Like, they had never heard of that operating system.
That is one good way
like
to be a smartass in your class.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. I know Linux seems to be really popular with programmers.
Like, I had a dual boot of Linux on my computer for a long time before I had to, like, do a clean install of Windows
right.
7.
If I was going to do coding, I would definitely prefer working in Linux just because you are closer to the code. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting, someone having... Like, I would always think of if having a Linux OP, I would always think of having it... OS OP. I would always think of having it as a secondary operating system. But having... That's interesting that they have Linux as their primary OS. That's interesting. That's... Huh.
Isn't, like, Linux and that other one that starts with a U... aren't those like open source? So like, aren't they like free to download or whatever, install and stuff?
Free to download, free to mod.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like anything that's open source is just because it's open source and anyone can use it, I feel like that automatically makes it like automatically programmers and all those people are going to go towards it. And since they're the ones that are going towards it, they're the ones who are going to like, you know, what's the word? Influence it the most.
Right. That one of the reasons why I am so excited about the Ouya, however you want to say
Ouya.
It.
Ouya.
Because it's open source and it's...
And they even said it's hackable.
They say... They come right out and say, we want you messing with this console. That's... I'm so excited to see what people do with it. And just to see how... Having something that we know, is going to be able to run real, completely just blanked out there. Having something that's going to be able to run kind of the big games, hopefully. From what we've seen, it's going to be able to run some of the pretty big title games. And having that be something that's open source and hackable and... How that's gonna? I'm so excited.
I can't wait to see how like the Ouya is coming out next year, probably or whatever. That's like what they're planning for anyway. Like they have the prototype and stuff.
Yeah, it's actually I'm really surprised at how early it's coming out. Like something
from being
like
from only one prototype to be mass produced within a couple months. Yeah. That's impressive.
I mean the fact that they could have it out by summer of next year, because if you think about it, if Microsoft did something like this, we wouldn't be seeing it until probably holiday 2013.
Microsoft did announce $100 Xbox, but it has like a monthly service fee for Xbox Live.
You always have a monthly service fee for Xbox
Live. Well, I mean,
Live.
Like it's a $100 console.
So that's kind of like the arcade used to be.
Yeah.
But the thing with the Ouya, like, that's supposed to come out, like, early in the year. Like, earlier than, like, the when people are speculating that the new consoles will be out. Since the Ouya is, like, this, you know, it's this box or whatever. It's, like, open source and all that stuff. But not only that, it's, like, live. It's got the on-live service where you stream video games to it instead of putting a disc in. Like, there's no disc drive on it. Like, it'd be interesting to see, like, if that thing does really well, what if that just changes, like, the... What if that just changes, like, how Microsoft and Sony go towards their new consoles? Like,
the one
you'll
thing,
see, like, consoles eventually just getting rid of disk drives and hard drives altogether.
Oh, I totally see that happening in the near future.
It'll happen.
Absolutely.
But
or
with the,
moving to games being on, like, SD cards or just something smaller than a disk.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
I don't want to see that the disks end, mainly because I have a 5 gigabyte data cap for my internet, so... Losing the discs would screw me over.
That's true. The other thing, the whole collector's aspect of video games, I talked about this last time, my collector's edition Legend of Zelda that you can't sell a file that you don't, well, you could, but it's not, so you kind of lose.
It's not the same feel.
You lose
having like
you lose
special
vintage
editions.
Video games and special edition video games that cut like, yeah, you kind of lose that.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see. Like I'm saying that I'm sure that's what's going to happen eventually. Like eventually they probably will get rid of like discs and stuff. They might move to SD cards and everything like that. But I don't want to see digital take over completely. I still want to be able to go to the store and buy like my game there and like have the special editions or anything, because that's always something that I've been I've liked about gaming.
It's always that human interaction that makes the buying a game kind of worthwhile to me.
I still remember when I was, I don't know, 7 maybe, and I had $40, which at that time was more money than
we could have ever imagined,
than Bill Gates had ever held. And I remember going to the Toys R Us up in Portland with my mom, and I remember buying Pokemon Gold, and I just remember sitting in the back seat in my car seat or whatever I was sitting in at the time, and opening Pokemon Gold, just that human kind of interaction, that stimulation you get from working with packaging, and because maybe it's just me, but I swear to God, removing plastic wrap from things is the best feeling in the world.
I agree, that is the best feeling in the world. I had the same feeling
with when I got my first Pokemon game Ruby, when I was, I don't even remember, like 8, 9, 10, I don't even remember.
I don't even know how old I was at the time,
but I just remember playing that game on the car ride back home, and it was just an amazing feeling to unwrap it and just look at that box art.
I think I may have said this in an earlier podcast, but when I first got Gold, I couldn't read. And I didn't know how to save. So every single time I went to play, I started Pokemon Gold over completely until I learned that if you hit start, it opened up this like awesome menu on the side where there was a save feature. And that I remember the day I discovered that start button, and I was like, whoa, I can see all my Pokemon at once. And, like I can access items. Like it was just a whole, it was like I had bought Pokemon all over again.
Yeah.
It was a whole new world.
It was a whole new world of Pokemon, yes.
Well, do you guys know which game had the first save function?
No idea.
No clue.
The first Zelda game.
Really?
On the NES had the first, it was the first game that allowed you to save.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay, I nearly had a heart attack. I was, my dad or something was listening to the radio in the car. And the talk show was talking about collectibles. Basically, they were talking about things from the 80s that you might find in your basement that are worth a lot of money now. And I wasn't really paying a lot of attention, but I heard Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition, and then I heard $15,000, and I immediately thought, I have Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition, and was like, what? And then I realized they were talking about some game that came out back in,
it was Ocarina of Time, right, Majora's Mask.
It was early Zelda from 20 years ago, and but I just, because I know that game probably used in its condition is probably worth about $40, which is pretty awesome in my opinion. But I was like, wait, 15, that hold up, what? And then they're like, yeah, so this game from 19, I was like, oh. Darn it, that's 15 years before I was even around.
I was looking more at the I actually like the controller and the way it looks.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say about... So, if that comes out before the other systems, there are three things that are going to happen. One, this is the most likely situation. One, systems come out as normal, they're still absolutely huge. Situation number two, which is less likely... the Oya completely, actually it's very unlikely, but the Oya completely revolutionizes the market in the coming few months, and when it comes out before the Wii U, the Xbox, whatever it is, 720, the Xbox, the Y-box 360, whatever they end up calling it, and then PS4, if that's what they're going to go with. Yeah, because they're going to go with PS, PS2, PS3. It's probably going to be at PS4. But anyways, not in names. But if this comes out first and it does well, but then say it does completely... So say the Ouya completely changes the market and does amazing, and then these big consoles don't do well. Or third... The Ouya completely changes the market, does amazing, and Microsoft and Sony push back release dates.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think either of them, either of the two, will happen.
No, because it's going to be that'd be millions of dollars for them to do a complete overhaul of their prototype.
Right. I mean,
and then get them into mass production.
Right, because I mean, at the point that the Ouya is being released, we can speculate that they would at least be getting the mass production ready for those systems. I mean, like we said in our first podcast, we're going to see new systems holiday 2013, early 2014. That is, personally, that's just when I think. And if not, like at the latest, holiday 2014. But honestly, I don't think it'll be that long.
I'm looking at the Ouya right now, and they're on live, which will be playable on the Ouya. They have a lot of games, like a lot of AAA titles. They've got The Darkness 2. They have The Darkness 2, Saints Row, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's pretty interesting. Like Batman Arkham City.
Right. Me too. And one thing, from the looks of it, it's not going to be like dumbed-down mobile-type versions of games. You're going to be... like maybe with Minecraft, if Minecraft ends up getting on there, maybe we'll see an Xbox 360-like version. But
it'll definitely be an Ouya exclusive version of Minecraft, though.
Yeah. Didn't they already confirm Minecraft for the Ouya?
It wasn't 100% confirmed. But
it was kind of like
they're gonna have Minecraft, but it's gonna be the Android mobile version. Yeah, that's 100%.
Yeah, and Mojang was like, "Oh, this is really interesting here. Use our footage and our pictures in your advertisement, but let's not agree and sign anything just yet." And that's the last I heard. I don't know if anything's changed since then, but that's the last I heard.
Well, what I'm thinking is what Mojang's doing is just trying to test the waters, see if people are going to buy, how many people are going to buy this console, if it would be worth their money to make an Ouya version.
Right. I mean, Minecraft is huge as it is, but
I'm pretty sure most people put in money just to get Minecraft for it.
But if... Oh, totally blanked out. Wow, I keep doing this. So Minecraft is a huge game as it is right now. But if Minecraft were to be a big title and one of the first titles on a brand new section of gaming that we might be seeing soon, it would absolutely explode. Like, we think past few months that it's gotten big, and it has. Like, past 6 months, Minecraft has gotten really successful, but if it were to be one of the first games on a new, completely new, successful style of game console and gameplay, it would be top of the market for a long time.
I'm not so sure about that, because with Minecraft, I have Minecraft for the Xbox. That's like, I bought it for the Xbox, and I use my sister's version for the PC whenever I want to play on the PC, which isn't very often because my PC sucks. But I have a buddy, and he refuses to buy Minecraft for the Xbox because he feels that the PC version is better, which it is, because you can have like all those mods and stuff. Like, PC gaming is usually better. I still prefer a console anyway. But since the Xbox version sold so many copies when Minecraft came out for the Xbox, I feel like just having Minecraft on the Ouya when it comes out or whatever, I feel like it's not going to... It'll help it a lot, but it's not going to be like this like giant thing, because if someone wanted a console version of Minecraft, they could already get it on the Xbox. So I'm not so sure about that one. I mean, it'll help a lot.
That's
but
true. I think... now, I'm curious how close... What is it coded in? The Ouya.
I think it's not Ouya, but I know Minecraft's code. I'm pretty sure Minecraft's code in Java.
Yeah, Minecraft is Java, but what's the Ouya? I mean,
It's probably what all Android applications are programmed in.
Right, so and Android's pretty close to computer coding?
I think they code a lot of in Java.
Because I think it'd be easier to go take Minecraft and go to Android than it would be for the developers who took Minecraft and brought it to the Xbox.
It should honestly be a modified, a better version of the mobile game.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. That'll allow you to collect to PvP.
Games that'll allow you, or
Josh, the Josh Ouya keeps Minecraft leaning version way back.
that will allow you to connect to PvP servers on the internet.
I think Minecraft on the Xbox is fun. I have it on a PC, and I rarely play it on the Xbox anymore, but I bought it, and I enjoyed it. It was a great way to do multiplayer without having to deal with servers. It was a great way to play with friends before LAN was available, which I could go on for an hour about how excited I am about that new feature, but not having to use Hamachi anymore to record Let's Plays is wonderful. It is wonderful. But don't know where I was going with that. No idea where I was going with that. That's probably the fourth time that I've completely just gone blank in my tracks. So.
I really have no idea.
I have no idea what I was about to say.
I wanted to say something about the Ouya, though. We were talking about how, like, it's got what it could do with the Xbox and stuff, like, what it might change for Xbox and Sony. I'm not sure if it'll change a lot. Like, I feel like people want certain things with, like, cloud storage is great, and streaming for your streaming games is great and stuff. But if you don't have an internet connection or you have, like a data cap, then it's not going to be as good for you because eventually it'll start to work against you. Like, if I have all my games and stuff, if my console does not have a hard drive and it's all being saved somewhere else on, like, a cloud or whatever, then what happens when my power, if my power goes out, I guess I'm not really playing Xbox, but I mean, what happens if my internet goes down or something? I'm just not going to be able to play.
Right.
And
I have a small gripe towards the whole cloud saving, but a lot of people like it. A lot of people think it's...
Well, I think it's convenient
okay,
more than anything
Josh.
Else.
Josh keeps leaning back in his chair, and when he talks, he's like 3 feet from the microphone, and the microphones we're using are very directional, so you have to be... Literally, your mouth should be within like 4 inches.
How is this?
That is much better. He's now holding the mic. That is much better.
But, I feel like with cloud storage and all that stuff, people want that because it's convenient and whatever. And I feel like Microsoft, maybe Sony, I don't know, because I don't really deal with Sony products as much as I do Microsoft products. But I feel like Microsoft, with their consoles, there's certain things that I feel like they'll never get rid of. And one of those is that hard drive. Because, you know, when the Xbox came out, it had a 20-gigabyte hard drive. People started running out of space. So they released, like, the 60-gigabyte and all that stuff. And so I feel like they'll never get rid of that because they know they can make money selling hard drives.
Right. And they know that they can always have the...
Well, the good thing with Sony's hard drives, you can just stick in any hard drive that you can buy from Newegg, you can stick it in the PS3.
You can do that with an Xbox.
You can? Oh, well, mm-hmm. USB connection.
Oh, yes. Well, how is it connected with a PlayStation?
You just take out the hard drive from the internal storage bay, put it in its little docking station... That it, like,
oh, so it's literally
it.
Like a computer hard drive.
Yeah.
Setup.
So it connects by SATA, right? Like the SATA cables?
Yep. A little SATA connection thing inside the PS3. You just slide it in, take it out, slide back.
Like, one thing that, like, the reason I believe that Microsoft will never really get rid of that whole hard drive thing isn't just because they know that they can make money on it, but when they had the original Xbox, like the Xbox 360 and the Arcade and the Elite or whatever, those hard drives look different from the ones that are on the Xbox 360 Slim, and they said that, oh, well, you're going to need to buy a transfer cable and a new hard drive, like, because the different case on it or whatever. But if you take one of those old Xbox 360 hard drives where it connects on the top, if you just unscrew that and take the hard drive itself out, it plugs in the exact same way to the Xbox 360 Slim.
Really?
That's it brilliant. Does. That is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, because I don't think most
Microsoft,
people will take it apart.
Microsoft's scamming the industry.
Well, I mean, that being said, like, if you do take it apart, you are taking some risk with it because it's the exposed hard drive. And, you know, you get a little bit of static electricity and you zap that and no more
saved data. Think that...
Plus, you touch that screw and you know that warranty that you paid for? Gone. Consider it gone. Like, just don't you dare. Don't you dare even think about, like, possibly... taking out a screw to use tape instead or gluing something. Oh my God, you probably broke the whole thing. And you think, oh no, but no, we're not giving you money because you broke it. No, you broke it. You broke it. It's not, you touched it and we said not to. That's past the warranty. Completely unacceptable.
I've got a funny story. My dad had a Sega Genesis when he was in his 20s and he was playing that in college. He bought this game. I can't remember what it was called, but it was just a piece of shit. And he wanted to return it, but it was opened. So when he got to Walmart, he was like, oh, my game's damaged. And so they give him a new one because it's in, like, the three-day warranty. So he gets the new one and returns. And he ends up returning the one that's already open to a GameStop and getting money for that and returning the one that's in new packaging to Walmart, a different Walmart, and getting the money back for that.
That's great. Then similar to... If you play Yu-Gi-Oh, the card rarities, the rarer the card is, the more like holofoil it has on it, and holofoil cards are heavier than the regular rares. So there's a method that people use called scaling, where they take postal scales and things like that, gram scales, that can measure down to the 10th and 100th of a gram.
Bring it to Walmart and measure packs?
Yes, they weigh, really? They weigh packs and they buy the heavy ones and are almost guaranteed super secret ultra rares because they know that those have that has the foil. And
let's try that.
And I saw, okay, so I saw a video online and this guy, he buys, it's harder to do when they come in a blister, and a blister is when you've got like the cardboard back with the plastic on top. So this guy, what he does is he takes a razor blade and he puts a really thin line in the bottom and slides the pack out of the blister through the bottom, weighs the packs, and then he takes the light ones, puts them back, slides them back in the blisters, and since he used a razor blade at the very bottom, it's not noticeable, and returns them to Walmart. And he claims since he's not tampering with the product, he's just taking it out and putting it back in, it's completely okay. So,
yeah. All right.
I mean, there are
sure
literally videos on YouTube of this guy opening products, putting them back in. And
I kind of have a beef with that. That's not really fair. I think weighing the product to see which one's going to have the best cards inside, that's fine. But
right,
when you're legitimately stealing, I draw the line at that.
I agree, too. And there's a big argument about, well, if only the core Yu-Gi-Oh! Players are scaling, then all the people who just do it as a hobby are never going to get good cards. And the kind of counter-argument is, a lot of times those people who are just doing it as a hobby are younger children who aren't as serious about the game and who honestly are okay with not getting a super or secret rare.
Because they don't really know if it's a
they
super
want,
rare.
Like, they know that those cards are more rare, but they just want more cards. And they just want to open the cards and open the packs and they want that thrill. And so that's how they kind of justify it on that end. But I just think that fit kind of quite nicely with
their
that
little
story.
Argument about how, you know, people aren't going to, like, you know, the people who are really into it, they're going to get all the good cards, and the people who are doing it as a hobby aren't going to get, like, as good cards or whatever. That little, like, I don't think that I don't think that whole thing is right at all. But with that argument, like, it could also be said that, well, since they're only doing it as a hobby, they probably wouldn't care as much that they're not getting rare cards because they're not going to go up against, like, these professional players.
Right, exactly.
Stuff.
They're not competing in tournaments or doing stuff like that. And I saw a really interesting post, actually, and it basically said, listen, if you're a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card player in a major city and you buy blister packs from a store and expect to get good rares, that's just screwing yourself over. Because chances are, if you're in a city, there's someone else in there who's a more serious player than you that is scaling and has scaled that store. And it was perfect. It was put really perfectly. And it basically said, listen, go online. Go to your websites like Cool Stuff Inc. and Troll and Toad and buy the packs, one, for cheaper, and two, guarantee you're not going to get, quote-unquote, scammed out of your good cards. And the way it was worded was so perfect. Like, listen, it was basically just saying, listen, you know this is happening, yet you still keep buying the packs and still keep not getting the cards you want. Stop complaining about it and do what you have to do so that you can get the cards you want, which I thought kind of an interesting way of putting it.
Isn't that like the entirety of the internet, though, complaining about stuff that's happening but not doing anything about it?
Well, yeah, that's true. That is the internet in a nutshell.
That sounds like the whole Mass Effect 3 ending problem that they had. Reddit was all complaining about it, and absolutely nothing happened because they didn't do anything productive with their argument.
It's like internet petitions. They don't work.
Right. Well, they did have one that worked for the Stop on SOPA.
Well, one out of how many, though?
Right, but it's so easy to plug your email address and first name into a internet thing like, save the rainforest. Okay, sure. And you literally take 30 seconds out of that time that you were browsing Facebook to plug in.
I don't do that because I end up getting sketchy emails.
Well, yeah,
you end up
getting sketchy emails after that. But you're like, oh, look at all these people that have already done it. This is a good cause. But then you never, ever hear about it again. Ever. Ever. Unless it's SOPA. Because that was legit.
Well, that was run by Google. Like, the main SOPA petition was run by Google and Reddit.
Right, and just the fact that you had so many websites who were chiming in doing the with the SOPA blocked. I mean, you had probably millions of Facebook users that set their profile picture to the government seal and the this picture has been blocked.
I definitely did that.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was something that was so real to everybody. But the other little things you come across that your friend might forward you, you know, stop the petition, stop this company from treating animals poorly. XYZ, do this, this, and this. Please give us your email to be a part of the petition.
Oh, it's like PETA.
Right. Thank you for your help. It's like those aren't... They're almost not as legitimate.
Well, I think the only internet petition or any of that stuff that I've ever done was that SOPA one. And that's because with any of those things, they really don't affect me, so I don't really bother to look over and read them because I know that all it's going to want me to do is sign my email or whatever.
And then you're just going to get spam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only one I ever did was that SOPA one, and I never got any emails back or I never got, like, spammed with emails. So, I mean,
right, exactly.
That was one that worked.
Well, it's Google wants you to trust them, so they're not going to abuse that trust.
Yeah, Google wouldn't.
Well, they might.
I have an interesting opinion on Google based on past issues with customer service that many people have had similar issues with. Which, let me just say, without going into it, it's really sad that probably a multi-billion-dollar corporation can't have live phone customer service, but, you know, whatever. That's not important. I think SOPA was just something, like, what? It just challenged, it made, and maybe it wasn't going to be as bad as everyone thought it was going to be. Maybe we were completely overreacting, but the whole internet scene that has really blossomed over these past few years, mainly around YouTube. I mean, YouTube is so huge. There's, I think it's 48 hours of video uploaded every minute or something like that. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's just become this huge center for news and everything. I mean, you have Philip DeFranco and SourceFed who are literally reporting on the news on YouTube. You have people who are making a living by playing games and... people who are musicians who are being found because they're putting... And YouTube has just become this whole huge thing. And I think a lot of those creators and a lot of those people got really worried that, holy crap, what's going to happen to this scene that has been really blossoming? What could SOPA potentially stop from happening? What? It sounded like a machine just coughed on your side.
That was me. I'm not a machine, though. But I get what you're saying. Like, you know, maybe it wasn't as big of a deal as everyone thought it was going to be. But this is just my belief. People have different beliefs. I don't care. But I feel like any kind of thing that would give government or whatever power over the internet, like any kind of big power over the internet, I feel like that is just a bad thing waiting to happen, because maybe they'll actually do what they say they're going to do, and they're just trying to keep the internet from being trying to keep the internet monitored so that pirates can't like constantly steal software and stuff. But there's always the chance that, you know, as we get further down the line, the original idea is no longer there, mm-hmm. and it's really
I agree
just
with you
this
100%.
Is the government's internet. If you want to use it, you're playing by our rules.
Exactly. And actually, we have proof that, that could potentially happen with what Verizon did. It wasn't, I don't know if a lot of people heard about it, but some people were talking poor about Verizon, and Verizon was their internet connection, and Verizon basically said, remove that and don't do it again. And the guy said, no, you're my internet service provider, but you don't own the internet. And Verizon's corporate was kind of taking the stance like, since they provided it to these people, they had the right to choose what went on and what didn't go on. And it was this argument based on how internet service providers, are they just a link to the internet, or are they a biased view of the internet? So is now, are we going to have to start using multiple internet service providers, like we have to use multiple news stations, because you're always going to have a little, at least some bias? Or which personally, I think if we had to pay for multiple different ISPs, that's just ridiculous. But it's kind of, I think we kind of saw a glimpse of what SOPA could have potentially done with that little Verizon mishap.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying about that. Like the, you know, there shouldn't be like that kind of control or whatever. But with the SOPA was never like a SOPA. It was stopped or whatever. But parts of it have been put into other bills. Like I remember right after there was talk about how we, you know, SOPA had been stopped. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, and I didn't like go and look for the sources or whatever. But there was another bill that was being presented or whatever, and this bill had nothing to do with. The bill was put in a way so that it had SOPA in it, but if you voted against it, it would make you look like a horrible person.
Right, exactly.
Was that the child porn bill?
Yeah, that's the bill.
Yeah, because I heard about mm-hmm. that, and that made me furious.
It was basically what they were doing was they were putting two things in two separate arguments into one. And actually, I have a real-life situation in our town. I'm actually not sure if I should be saying this because I'm a school board representative for the senior class, but I'm gonna say it anyways because I don't care. our town is looking to invest in upgrading our high school, and not just a little upgrade. They're looking at a $45 million renovation, and this is a renovation. They're not tearing the high school down and starting from scratch. They are renovating, meaning some parts of the high school are still going to be here. And what happened was, people were looking into and looking in other towns in the area and saying, okay, these other towns are building brand new high schools that work perfectly fine for a third, a half, a quarter of our estimated costs. How is this happening? And what happened was, people that were for the new school started saying that people who were against it were against education. And that's how they made that connection. Not okay, my taxes are going to go up a ton if all of a sudden the town has to support a $40 million school. And, I mean, we're a town of 10,000, and we're grouped with another town of probably 5,000 and another town of probably 2,000 or 3,000. So we're a decent size, but our school system could not handle, in my opinion, could not handle a $45 million high school. And what happened was, everyone who was for it, who was like, oh yeah, we can take on the little extra tax burden, it's for the children, they basically said, oh, you're going to vote against this? You're against education.
Well, that's the whole thing with
which
politics.
Which is like, oh my God, you can't. How is the fact that they connected the two of them, and the fact that people listened to them after they connected the two of them, just made me so frustrated. Like, ugh.
I know what you're saying. Like, I have a huge problem with the education system that we have, like, in the United States, because...
Okay, I don't... excuse my language, but College Board is bullshit. AP tests, SATs, all that is such bullshit. And it's not because it's not because I'm a senior who's taken AP tests and done SATs and all that stuff. It's because I see how ridiculous the system is and how you're not... The SATs aren't testing your knowledge. They're testing how well you studied for that specific format of test. And it's such... Everything about it is... The College Board is about making money. And if they weren't about making money, then they wouldn't charge you money to send your AP scores to college. When you're applying for colleges, you have to pay to say, okay, I would like you to send this. Oh, I got a 5 in AP calculus. Awesome. Oh, but now we're going to charge you to show the schools that you got that 5. We're not going to send it unless you pay us $10 for each college. And oh, you only got a 2 on that AP language and composition? Yeah, that'll be another $10 to have us not send it to the schools. And so you can continue. But I would just like to leave, my opinion is College Board, and the whole fact that you can, that everyone thinks that you can put a number on someone's knowledge is just such bullshit. And that is my complete honest opinion.
We really got sidetracked with this.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. But the thing that I was going to say is that, I don't know what your high school is like, but my high school there's a lot of people there who they make it very clear that they don't want to be there and that they don't want to go to school. They don't care about, you know, becoming, they don't care about learning any things that are actually going to help them in life or whatever that they'll need later on.
It's always the, how is this going to, like, oh, great, I'm learning how to calculate the angle of this triangle. How is this going to apply to the real world? It's always what you hear.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like the kids that will just, they'll get the work in the class. They'll just sit there. They won't do it, or they'll just leave in the middle of the class. They don't care. They're constantly going down to like the office or whatever.
Yeah, going to the bathroom, getting a drink of water 3-4 times. Yeah.
Yeah, and the kids that don't try on the tests and stuff. So the kids that don't try on the tests because they don't care or whatever, it lowers the average test score. Because the test scores are lower, teachers are saying, oh, well, we need like I don't like how the teachers have the union or whatever that's constantly fighting for getting teachers a raise and stuff. And it's like, oh, well, you don't
agree.
Like our, if you don't, we need a raise and stuff. We need, teachers need to be paid better. And if you vote against it, then it's because you don't care about your child's education. And it's like, well, you know, you keep getting raises, but the test scores are still low. So I think there's something wrong with maybe the teachers aren't teaching or they're not being enforceable enough. And I feel like school should just be, honestly, I feel like a way to fix this whole thing would be school is 100% optional, because then the only people that are there are the ones who actually care and want to learn, and then you don't have to deal with the kids who interrupt the whole class and disrupt everyone else. And then those people obviously won't be able to do very much in life, and then they'll realize they made a huge mistake.
I agree with you almost to the point until you said 100% optional. I think there are definitely measures that could be taken. I don't know what, but I'm sure there's some solution that could fix the issue. Perhaps maybe the bad teachers have the union stop saving them from being fired like they should, so that you can get in a good professor and a good teacher who actually teach. Because you have teachers, and sure, I bet when they first started, I bet they were great. But
can
you can't tell me.
Can I talk about one of the teachers we had at our school? I'm not naming names, anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
had... Okay, he just whispered the name to me, and I was like, right. Yep, definitely.
So we had a teacher here. She was originally hired for chemistry. Oh, no, she was originally hired for biology, but because they didn't think one of the other teachers we had at our school was going to teach bio. So when she started, she was like, all right, I'm going to teach bio, nothing else. And then when school was about to start up, they were like, oh, you're going to teach chemistry. And she knew almost nothing of chemistry. We actually found out after she got fired that she failed chemistry in college. So after that kind of got leaked out, everyone was like, this teacher is not good and
not a real teacher.
Well, a real teacher.
It's just she wasn't in the right spot.
She was forced into the wrong position, which I kind of feel bad because then there were also rumors that her and her husband got divorced. So it was kind of like,
that's rough. But okay. So another situation. We have a teacher in the school who I had 2 years ago, and this particular teacher would take a really long time to grade papers and things. So you would pass something in at the beginning of the quarter, and it really would not be until the last week of the quarter that they would start updating grades and things. So say you accidentally missed a homework assignment and you didn't realize it, you probably didn't know until the night of the ending of the quarter, and then you could have just failed the class because of a little honest mistake that people make that you didn't realize, that you could have said, holy crap, didn't even realize that I missed this assignment, here it is, yeah, sure, take a little bit off for late, but don't give me a zero on it. And it actually got so bad, a friend of mine did an assignment in red pen, passed it in, and then did the next assignment in red pen, passed it in, and then did a third assignment in red pen, passed it in, had not gotten any of those assignments back. He then got the assignments back at the end of the quarter, and the first one, it said right on it, don't use red pen in the future. The second one said, you use red pen, minus 10. The third one said, you use red pen, minus 20. So he lost a total of 30 points over three things, but he had never gotten the original one saying, don't use red pen. And the teacher did not approach him saying, please don't use red pen in the future. It was just, he wrote it, oh, so you wrote it on his paper and then kept it in your briefcase? So you assumed that he knew that not to use red pen? It was, and there's so many, it's horrible to knowing, once you get talking, realizing how many stories there are of just poor teaching.
Horrid teaching.
Horrid, poor. Really
you just
bad.
Said, well, no, you said whore.
No, I said poor.
Oh, I thought you said whore, so no, I was kind of like, you didn't finish the word.
P-O-O-R. Poor.
Okay.
Like, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, we have problems like that at my school, but there are a lot of teachers at our school, or my school anyway, that they seem like I'm going to sound like a stereotypical kid who hates school when I say this, but there's a lot of kids at our school, or not kids, there's a lot of teachers at our school who seem like they're on this giant ego trip and they became a teacher so they could have power over someone else, because they'll do a good job teaching, but when it comes to grades and stuff like that, or when it comes to handing back assignments, I think of an example.
Or when you have a teacher that teaches you one thing and then the test is on something completely different.
Exactly.
The same teacher that I just mentioned, it was, you know, I feel okay saying this.
Don't say it. Don't say any names.
I'm not saying names. I'm saying what class it was. It was a history class. Past history. Not current events. Past history. Each day in class, the teacher taught current events. No one took notes on it because we assumed that it was just more of a class discussion because it happened at the beginning of each class. He talked about current events, and then we learned, quote-unquote, learned history. Not really, because they were a bad teacher. And so what happened was we would then get these tests, and 50% of it would be over the current events, but the class only was supposed to go up to 1920. So why are we learning current events? And all of a sudden we're getting horrible scores on these tests because, yeah, we listened in class and stuff, but we didn't think it was something that we were supposed to take notes on and then study for a test. So we weren't ready for that. And so then we were getting poor grades on tests, even though those of us who did study did well on the part that was supposed to be on the test. But then there were these questions that either one, we had either never heard of, or two, were not about what the class was about. And if the class was history to 1920, as well as current events. Since we don't have a current events class, do a little bit of that too. If it said in the description of like the course description, I'd, you know, fine by me. But no,
Brian, I think
it
you're
didn't.
Getting a little carried away.
It didn't. It didn't.
Brian.
I'm sorry. Jeez. I got carried away.
So let's talk about something in video games.
Yeah. I think we should probably get back to that.
Yeah, I think we've depleted that topic.
So Hero Academy came out on Steam, which it's a iOS game, which I quite enjoy. It's a little strategy board game kind of deal. It's I wouldn't say it's like a RTS, but it's just like a board game, and you just point and click it on the PC, and you get like when you buy it on Steam, you can also like games are transferable from your phone to your Steam account. But you have to buy the standalone game for your computer. You can't just get it on mobile and then have it on Steam. But it's, I don't know, you get the the Team Fortress 2 team, which has the heavy, the engineer, the sniper, all those guys. So it's pretty fun.
Cool. I've never really gotten to like mobile games and stuff. I've never really considered them like full on games. They are more like games now. Like before, they were just kind of like these flash games and stuff. But
yeah.
I never really got into them, and a lot of them are now I would get into them, but a lot of them are more for like the iOS and Android, and I have a Windows phone, and I love my Windows phone, but it just doesn't have game. It just doesn't have like as many games on it, which I really don't mind. But
well, I think with Windows mobile phones, they should have more Xbox Live-esque titles that actually give a boost to your gamer score.
Yeah, they do. I have the I bought the Full House Poker for my phone and on the Xbox, and so they count as two different things. But they have about the same achievements, so I can get like the achievements in the Xbox, and then I play the phone version. I get those achievements, and then it goes towards my Xbox gamer score and stuff, which I like how they're connected and everything. But I mean, they don't have like as many games as like they don't have as many different games as, like the Windows Phone.
Yeah,
but, yeah. I think I think Windows phones are underrated. I think it's great technology. Yeah, I think
like I thought about getting them, but they didn't have like a wide game selection to like for me really to pick out which games like I like, because there was Fruit Ninja, which is a game I kind of like. It's a little fun arcadey game, but that was really the only one I saw that I liked.
Yeah, the I agree that Windows phones are underrated and that they don't really have the best selection for games right now. But that's something that you know. As time goes on, it's going to be, it's going to get bigger and everything. And when I was looking for a new phone, cause I had a Android phone before and, this girl had slapped it out of my hand and smashed it. Cause I guess she didn't like the fact that I had a new phone and she was still stuck with her old one. And so since I had no longer had an Android phone, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just switch to Windows phone, because this was around the time that Xbox had announced at E3 that they're going to release Xbox Smart Glass. And so when I went and asked people about like if they had a Windows phone, what was it like? They all said that they liked the phone and it was really great. The only downside is there's not much in the app marketplace.
Yeah. I think, yes, I agree. And I think as soon as Windows, the one thing that I will give Apple is their syncing, how their devices connect with each other. Someone who has a tablet, a desktop, a laptop, and an iPhone that are all Mac is able to stay connected with themselves. They're able to share documents with themselves easily. I that is the one thing I will give Apple. And I think when Windows really incorporates that with their phones to their computers, we don't know what we're going to be seeing with Windows, Microsoft Surface, which I am so excited for. Launch of Windows, Windows 8. Bleh. Launch of Windows 8 on October 28th. So, coming up soon.
Did you say March or November?
October.
October. Wow.
I didn't say either of those months. But I think once they're able to do that, and then once they open themselves up, Android came in, and at first it was a small marketplace for apps. But now almost anything that's on the, almost any popular app that is on the iPhone or iPod Touch, iPad, almost all of them are available in an Android version, just because Android has grown to a point where it is, when you create an app, you create two versions of it. That's just how it works now.
But the thing is, with Android phones, they have to come, like, you have to think about, well, we also have hundreds of different variations of this Android operating system. So, I don't know.
I don't know. For some reason, I've always felt like since everything, almost anything that's on the iPhone is on the Android, for some reason, I've always felt like it was always iPhone or the iOS and Android versus Windows. I always felt like those two kind of went together because almost anything that's on iOS was also developed for Android, like on their marketplace and stuff. So I feel like most people are going to go for Android or iOS because they know that those they can get almost anything that they like about the iOS onto the Android, whereas Windows is a little different. Like it's got like tiles, like the live tiles, instead of like all those different menus that the iOS and the Android has, which I like because I don't have to organize stuff as much. And I don't know, I've always just felt like it was Android and iPhone versus Windows.
That makes sense. I turned my mic off because I was chewing. Yeah.
But one of the reasons that the main reason though that I got like a Windows phone was because of that whole Xbox Smart Glass. Do you guys know what that is?
Kind of, not really.
Same. I know, kind of.
Well, it's like so Xbox, they're kind of, Microsoft's moving Xbox more from a console gaming to like an entertainment system. And that's why they've incorporated like ESPN and Hulu and all that stuff.
Oh, so, okay. Right, right. I knew about that.
And so what Smart Glass is going to do when they release it, it's going to be a free app on the Windows phones and stuff, and any other on the Windows phone and on the tablets and stuff and on the Xbox. And what it's going to do is it's going to allow you to connect all of those devices. So you, and they showed off like kind of a preview of what it could be with like Halo 4. And what it was like you had Halo 4 playing on your Xbox, and you had the Smart Glass thing or whatever that connected them to like your phone, so you could check your phone, or like your phone would be out and it would have like a map of, it would like have an overview map of whatever you were playing on in that Halo 4 multiplayer game, and you could see like live feedback or something like that. So it kind of like, or you could select menu stuff from your phone while still playing the Xbox game, which I thought was really cool. And
that is cool. So that sounds like what the Wii U controller is going to be, where you're going to be able to access inventory for Zombies U on the controller while still playing the game.
Well, yeah, it's like that, but it's also got like, if you're watching a movie on your phone or your tablet or whatever, you can switch it over to your TV through the Xbox and stuff.
That's cool. Almost like the Xbox is going to become the successful version of Apple TV that wasn't, it still isn't very successful.
I'm going to be honest. I have heard nothing about Apple TV. I've never heard of what that was until like a few days ago when my uncle mentioned it to me.
It's just basically, it's a system where you can play your iTunes movies and stuff like that, and you can use them on your TV. Is basically simply what it is. And then you can just continue watching them on your iPod Touch or your MacBook Pro. And it was incredibly unsuccessful. And
well,
still
the
is.
Thing is, it's $100, so it's not that bad.
But it's still, I mean, Keith hasn't even heard of it. Like, that's just example right there.
Well, yes. That being said, I really don't get into Apple products that much, so that might be why I haven't heard of it.
Oh, well, but, okay, that is, all right, that's fair to say then.
But with, like, if the Apple TV is like $100 and it's basically the same thing, the very fact that this is a free app from Microsoft might help it kick off faster because, you know, you don't have to pay for it. But it's got like these features that something that's $100 has. And like Microsoft had said that the Xbox Smart Glass will be available on Windows Phone and devices as well as Android and iOS. But when they were later interviewed, they said that they had asked if it really would be available on the iOS and stuff, or if it would be like a watered down version. And Microsoft's comment was that depends on their developers and how willing they are to work with us. So I immediately took that as, if they don't want to meet our demands, then it's not going to be on there. So that's why I kind of jumped towards the Windows Phone more. And I don't know. I just thought that was it just looked really cool how they had all these features and stuff that I thought was a brand new technology at the time, but apparently Apple TV had that.
I don't know, but it's something new. What was I going to say?
Josh and I are...
Well, I just sent a link to both of you. It was a little GIF. Did you see that, Keith?
It's a guy riding a warthog towards another guy, and the other guy in Halo has a grav hammer. And he slams a grav hammer down, and the warthog goes flying, and it pops up on the screen, get the fuck out. And then he throws a sticky, a plasma grenade, hits the bottom of the warthog, and the warthog explodes, and then it says, seriously. And I died. I probably laughed more than I was really necessary, but I had to turn off my mic for a moment. That's
a pretty funny GIF.
Yeah.
But I just think Apple TV, it's just an overpriced feature, basically.
Yeah. But I mean, but
the thing is, with the Surface, you won't have to have an Apple TV or any other thing. You'll just have your Windows Phone, Windows Tablet.
Well, not Surface, Microsoft Glass.
Glass, that's what it was called. But you'll have your Surface, your phone, and you can just transmit stuff to your Xbox, which that'll be way, way better. You won't have to buy anything extra besides your tablet, your computer, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're only going to have to buy an Xbox, a phone, a tablet, a computer. I mean, basically way better than just spending the $100 on the Apple TV.
Well, the thing is, the Apple TV...
Yeah, but theoretically, you already have those devices.
What they're thinking.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
It's supposed to be like, they said they're developing it or whatever, and it's supposed to come out this year, holiday or whatever, is when they're going to release this. And they said that it's going to work with their newer products and the ones that you have in your pockets now. And
I like that. I like things that are backwards compatible, especially video game systems.
Yeah, if the Wii wasn't backwards compatible, fuck that thing.
Yeah.
Do you want the new Xbox or whatever? Do you want that to be backwards compatible? Is that like a big demand? Yeah.
Absolutely.
If the next PlayStation comes out, I want that to be backwards compatible as well.
If the next Xbox doesn't allow 360 games, it's probably going to be a little while. I'm not going to go out and buy it. I'm not going to... Because it means you have to then spend... So $300 on a console, but then say you want... four games, there's $200 right there.
You have to think of it like this. Like, most games don't have a huge library when a new console comes out, but when it's backwards compatible, you have a couple hundreds of games that people already play. Those are your launch titles as well for your core exclusive titles.
Right, exactly. Like, if, Halo 4 is coming out. Say, Halo 5... which we know they've released the fact that we're going to get a 4, 5, 6. So we know that that's going to be coming out. So say that comes out right before the next Xbox, and it's for the 360. And maybe it won't. I'm not making any predictions, but say it does. That's going to be a huge title. Granted that Halo's still big when Halo 5 comes out, which we all assume it probably still will be. And that's going to be a big title, just like Halo 4 is now, just like Halo 3 and Halo 2 were. There are these big titles. And so what happens if you get one of those big titles, and then just weeks after a new Xbox comes out that isn't backwards compatible? Who loses sales? Is it going to be Microsoft, or is it going to be the Halo developers?
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
It'll definitely be an interesting kind of thing to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think unless anyone has anything else that they would like to mention, we're running on 80 minutes, which I'm pretty happy about.
I think this is a pretty good podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited. Keith, anything else you want to talk about? Keith? You still there?
He's busy.
Uh-oh. I think we lost him. Oh, he's writing. He's writing something in Skype. I can tell because the little pencil's bouncing up and down and there are lines behind it. I lost connection to the call. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, well, I guess that was good enough timing. So first we want to thank Keith. I don't think they can leave comments, so... leave comments on iTunes. Anyways.
Well, we have a group on Rooster Teeth. You can follow that.
Yeah, that's true.
That.
Just anyways, any way you have to contact us, just be like, we love Keith. Have him more often because we want him to be a member. Well, yeah. He's a member.
A regular podcaster.
A regular podcaster on the Dotcast.
Follow, just go on Rooster Teeth, look up Dotcast, you'll find it.
Listen to us on iTunes, which we're on, which I'm stoked about.
Dotcast on iTunes. And when you go on Rooster Teeth, you'll find Brian's.
Yep, it's Bamo Guy.
Mine is Super Bad, and you'll see Keith is K95.
Yep, and also we're on YouTube, just BLUDOT Productions, Blue Dot Productions, Blue without the E, pretty simple. So thank you guys for listening. This has been a longer one, but we really appreciate it. We hope you guys liked Keith. We liked having him on the show. We're excited if he's still listening. Thanks, man. Can't wait for the next one.
So I think,
and we will see you all hopefully next week. All
right, bye.
Or we will listen to you, or you will listen to us. We actually have no connection with you at all. Just listen. Okay, he's cutting me off because I'm going to babble a little bit. All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye.